Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey, welcome to Breathing Room. This is Sandy James. I'm here with Mariah Ballweber, my favorite person.
Hello, everybody.
And we love that you're here with us. It is still cold in Oklahoma, and we are so in love with the fact that you get to just stop and have coffee with us and talk to us about the love of God, because that's what we're talking about in February. That's the big month of February is love. And it's just a really super shallow thing that the world likes to celebrate. Mostly it has to do with romantic love and sexual love or whatever that is. And I just want to go deeper than that, because the love of God is a little bit different. It's quite a bit different. Mm-hmm. Its world is different than the love that the world wants to put out there and celebrate.
It's so much deeper than all of that.
It is, because if I'm, quote, in love with someone and they don't please me, I instantly fall, quote, out of love with them.
There's a whole genre the next one. Of music about that.
Right.
Well, you know, I guess our love just didn't make it. I'm like, that is not.
That's not love.
That's wimpy.
That is lust.
Yeah.
Mm. That is something that pleases me or doesn't please me. Yeah. That is something that serves my flesh as opposed to yields my flesh to someone else's good.
So to compare that to what covenant love looks like, in our last episode, we talked about Jonathan and David in their covenant and how that transferred over to Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, in David's relationship. But that love is not, oh my gosh, I'm so in love with you, please me.
Right.
It's, wow, I love you so much, more than my own soul.
Yeah.
More than my own thoughts, my own ideas, my own life.
Yeah.
What can I do for you?
Yeah, what can I do for you? What can I do for you with no requirements on that? What can I do for you, not based on what you're going to do for me afterward?
Yeah.
But how can I assist you?
Yeah.
What can I do? I'm burning, not in some passionate, lusting way, but I'm burning in my heart like David was pacing the floor. Mm-hmm. Is there no one left that I can share this covenant love with? Is there no one that I can pour out this love for that is of the house of Jonathan? Because when you made a Middle Eastern covenant, it was a covenant, and you know, the Bible is a Middle Eastern book.
Right.
It was a covenant with this person and this other person and everything that belonged to them.
Yeah.
So their whole family, their whole line, whatever, you are now in covenant with a whole tribe of people.
And it's a forever thing. So like even if, so with that story, you have Jonathan had a son, Mephibosheth. Well, if let's say Mephibosheth had a son named George, which would be kind of a weird thing, but whatever. Let's say he had George, Mephibosheth had died. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter which line or which person in that family descended from Jonathan, that covenant would still be intact.
Yeah. Fully.
Fully, as if it was Jonathan sitting
there. Because it was based on a commitment.
Right.
And see, that's a word no one knows what to do with anymore.
Right.
Well, half the time, people don't even get married anymore because they're afraid to make a commitment that is long-lasting, that is lifelong. And even when they do make covenant in marriage, they don't realize it's a covenant, and so they throw it away when it gets difficult. That's very easy to do, but it is not genuine.
Yeah.
And it is not the love of God. It is not the nature of heaven. It's not kingdom. It's not kingdom of heaven minded. Mm-hmm. So here's Mephibosheth eating at the king's table when just that morning he woke up hating that king because he believed lies about King David.
Hating and fearing that king. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what to do with them.
Yeah. Well, that's where all hate comes from, is fear.
Fear.
So he didn't know what to do with him. And he ended up, because of Jonathan's choosing David, and David's choosing Jonathan, he ended up that night sleeping in the bed in the palace after eating at the king's table with his tummy full for the first time in his life.
Wow.
A millionaire. The whole time he was a millionaire, the whole time. And he was starving to death in Lodabar.
Yeah.
It matters. It's life and death what we believe.
And, you know, it's because Mephibosheth didn't know who he was. He didn't realize that there had been this covenant history between David and Jonathan. I think had he known that, everything would have changed for
him. Had he known that, he would have accessed it.
He would have gone and knocked on the palace door. Yo, king, it's me. You know, and that wouldn't have been an arrogant or bad thing for him to do, because David would have been like, oh my gosh,
Thank God you're here.
Okay, someone put dinner on. I mean, you know, but he didn't realize who he was, so he didn't step into that reality.
Because covenant with the right people make you royalty.
Yeah. So who are we in covenant with? Who shares covenant love with us?
The king.
Yeah.
Jesus. Our king. The king Jesus. And the king of the universe, the Father. That covenant is real. Sometimes because we've been so... Some of us have been raised in church. I wasn't raised in church, but a lot of people I meet have been raised in church, and they heard this, but they never believed it. It was never taught to them as a right now reality, mm-hmm. and so they don't know what is theirs.
Right now.
They go to church every Sunday, and they don't know what belongs to them. They live like paupers when they have a room in the palace.
Yeah.
I'm passionate about this because God is passionate about this.
You have a seat at his table.
You do. You do. And the ground is level there. What's interesting to me, too, is that it says that Mephibosheth was lame in his feet.
Right.
So, you know, I have cerebral palsy at this point, believing God for healing any minute now. But when I'm walking, I walk on two quad canes. If Mephibosheth sat down at the table, they would take his canes away and park them over in the corner. They would get him some new canes, probably gold ones.
Right.
And then the ground is level at the table. You can't see his crooked feet under
Mm-mm.
the table.
Mm-mm.
So he looks like every other prince at that table.
Yeah.
Once David's gotten a hold of his wardrobe.
He gets a shave.
Yeah. He gets a shower and gets a new outfit.
I guess they didn't really shave, but you know what I mean.
He looks just like the rest of the princes at the table. Mm. And he always belonged there. David was pleased to bless him. We don't understand that kind of love. Mm. We do not have a file for that kind of love. Because our love is so self-serving that when I feel it, man, I really, really, really love you. When I feel it, this is just how I feel. We say that like it's gospel. Well, mm-hmm. this is how I feel.
Right.
You know what? David didn't care how he felt.
Mm-mm.
Didn't care how he felt or how Mephibosheth felt about it.
Right.
Chesed has no interest in how you feel.
Mm-mm.
It'll change how you feel, but it is not based on my feelings or your feelings. Let's talk about some other covenant people.
Mm.
There are some covenant people in the scripture that illustrates to us how God loves us. Let's talk about, let's say Ruth and Naomi. That's a covenant pair right there.
Totally favorite.
So Naomi is an older woman. She has a couple of sons. They left Bethlehem. They were Israelites, and they were raising their children in Bethlehem, and they left Bethlehem and moved to Moab, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
Okay. And everybody dies in Moab. Like, Naomi has a really bad time of it. Her husband dies, and her two sons die. Her two sons were married to Moabite women. One was married to Ruth, and one was married to Orpah.
Right.
Now, in those days, it should be this way, today even, but in those days, in that culture, those women would be very close to their mother-in-law, right. like a mother.
Right.
They would be very close, very honoring to their mother-in-law.
Well, and the other thing is, this is true in any culture, although we don't treat it like it's truth. When you marry someone, you marry their family.
Yeah.
And they marry your family. But they were like mega serious about this at this time. So whenever Ruth married into Naomi's family, and then her husband dies, and then the other son dies, and then the dad dies, her father-in-law dies, everybody's dying, it doesn't matter to her. She's not going to leave. This is her family now.
Yeah.
So there's no, to Ruth, I'm still in covenant with this family.
But that wasn't the case with Orpah, though.
Right, that's
true. And you see an illustration of covenant, no covenant.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Orpah, she kind of gave up a little bit of resistance, like, no, I don't want to leave
you. I'll stay forever.
And Naomi says, you girls should go back to your father's house. I'm not going to have another son anytime soon, apparently. So I have nothing to offer you. So go back to your father's house, leave me alone. my life is bitter. I'll probably die anyway. You know, Naomi gets into a lot of self-pity, which I completely understand. Everything she has that is dear to her has dropped dead before her.
Mm-hmm.
It has all died. All the promises she was believing God for have seemingly been buried in the ground. And so she looks at those girls and she said, I don't want to hold you back. Go get married to other people because you're young and you need to be married. And Orpah goes, no, okay. And she gives her a hug and leaves.
Well, right? It says, okay, she's Naomi. No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. She's so sad and just bitter. She actually wants to change her name in a second, but we'll get there.
Where are you?
This is verse 14 of chapter 1 of Ruth. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her.
Yeah. See, there's a difference there.
Yeah.
There's a, how am I feeling, love? That's Orpah.
Yeah.
And there's a, I'm clinging to you and I'm not going anywhere. And let me help you with something. This can't happen in the flesh.
Mm.
This happens because the Lord drops that in your heart.
Yeah.
For a friend or for another. And it's even bigger than family love.
Yeah.
It's bigger than, you can be in this kind of covenant with your family,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a given because you're family.
Right.
Does that make sense? I'm praying for families that they'll have this kind of covenant. But basically, Ruth, what does Ruth say? Ruth says, listen, I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to go there with you. Where you live, I'm going to live. Where you lie down, I'm going to lie down. Where you die, I'm going to die. I don't care what you do. Do all that is in your heart, basically.
Yeah.
Do everything that's in you, basically. Do it all. I'll do it with you.
Yep.
Because Ruth knew something. Naomi was old and she had no one. And Ruth loved her with that chesed, even though she didn't know the Lord. Ruth did not know the Lord. Wow. That's an incredible thought.
Mm.
Let's take a break for our sponsor. We'll be right back and we'll talk about this some more.
Hello, friends. This is Greg with Greg James Designs. We design barn dominium homes, metal building homes, and pole barn homes. If you would like to call us and discuss your project, feel free. 405-697-2110 or visit us on the web at gregjamesdesigns.com. We would love to talk about your project. Give us a call.
Hey, welcome back to Breathing Room. Thank you so much for tuning in and staying with us. Think about that. Here is this Moabite woman, Ruth, who did not know the God of Israel. She did not know Yahweh, and yet she walked in more godly character and covenant than the one who did know. Even the Naomi did, because Naomi's going, go away.
Right.
Go away.
I'll just die.
God has been mean. I'm going to change my name to bitterness, and I'm going to eat worms and die, basically, is what she's saying to Ruth.
Okay, can I read you what Ruth says? Okay, so Orpah kisses her and leaves. She's like, all right, I'm out of here. And Ruth says, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Like, get out of here. Let me just cry and die. It's fine. And Ruth says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me.
That's chesed.
Yeah.
Right there. If you needed a definition of chesed, that's it.
And okay, I love it. Okay, can we just talk about how this is so not in the flesh? You would think Naomi would be like, oh, bless you, child. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Let's go make muffins and go back to Israel. This is not a thing. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Okay, can we say not in the flesh? Because Ruth could have even been offended at that. Like,
fine.
What? So I'm just going to say, all right, whatever you want to do, I'm going to do with you. And you're not even going to speak to me anymore? Naomi! What? She doesn't. She stays with her.
Mm-hmm.
She knows. She knows. She just lost her kids and her husband.
She never reproaches her.
No. And she just sticks right there, clinging to her. Let's go.
Don't judge
You're making
people
muffins.
On their worst day.
I'm making muffins. Let's go to Israel. Right. Don't judge
somebody. Never judge somebody on their worst moment. Don't do it. Ruth didn't do it. Here's what I'm telling you. That's the kind of love that God wants to birth in our hearts for each other. And that is the kind of love that he has for us.
And you know what? That's the kind of love that resurrects people. Because here's the literally this whole chapter, Naomi pretty much wants to die.
Yeah.
She wants to change her name to Bitterness. She's just done. But by the end of, and this is a very short book, so I would encourage you to read it. It's just four chapters. By the end of this book, everything is restored for her.
Mm-hmm.
But why? It's because of that love. Now, had Ruth left her, that restoration wouldn't have been like that.
And that restoration, let me go even further than that with you. That restoration is what birthed the Messiah on the earth.
Right, right, right.
Here you go. Here you go. Because if Ruth had not yielded to that kind of love, the Messiah could not have been born. She was in the family of Jesus.
Mm. Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
Ruth married Boaz, which is a great love story. You have got to read this story. Naomi's all over the story. Naomi's like the Holy Ghost.
I love her.
There's a great man down there.
He likes purple. Wear the purple dress. Okay, not that one. That one's weird. Put the pearls on. Okay, get it, girl. Get it. Okay, turn around. Okay, now go to the harvest.
You know, go down to the threshing floor. He'll be there. Wait till this time. Put that perfume on.
Don't say that. That's weird. Okay, just do whatever I tell you.
I love it. The covenant is working, and the covenant is bringing about the plans of God in the earth. Listen to me. The covenant with David and Jonathan brought about the plans of God in the earth. It was intended that David sit on the throne. He had to sit on the throne. Also Jesus' family.
Yeah.
Right? And it was intended that Ruth was so faithful to her mother-in-law, and she was faithful, men and women of God, listen to me. She was faithful, and she brought resurrection to Naomi, who just wanted to die. Don't be discouraged if you're discouraged.
Yeah.
This woman wanted to die, but it was a covenant friendship that brought her back to life.
Right.
And then she marries Naomi's nearest kinsman, Boaz, handsome and very wealthy.
Right.
She marries Boaz because of her covenant with Naomi.
Yeah.
If she had, listen, if you miss this, you'll miss your destiny.
Right.
If Ruth had missed this, she would have missed her destiny, and Jesus could not have been born in the earth. Listen, God works through chesed.
Yeah.
He always has, and he always will.
Mm.
Think about that. She marries Boaz. I'm just trying to give you the family line. They have a son named Obed. This is weird, but I am a birth nerd. I am a home birth mom, which means I'm a closet midwife. And she gave birth on Naomi's knees, is what it says. And she, the first person to hold that baby was Naomi, because she wanted her to feel the love of a son.
Yeah.
Again, and she was basically Obed's grandmother, even though she had no blood involved in that birth.
Right.
Does that make sense? This covenant goes way further than comfort. It doesn't even check in with the comfort meter.
Mm-mm.
It will make you feel better, but it has nothing to do with comfort. That's what you need to understand. And so when Obed grew up, he had a son named Jesse, and Jesse had a son named David, and that is King David in the direct line of Jesus. So do you see what I'm talking about? God worked through this kind of love, this kind of, I'm not going to leave you, no matter what you tell me, no matter how much you ignore me, I am not leaving you. God has put me here, and I am staying where he has put me. That's the kind of commitment we don't know what to do with. As Americans, for sure, and I know you're listening to this all over the world, Breathing Room is getting a listenership everywhere in the world, but can you testify that we don't know what this looks like? We don't know what this looks like. We give up at the first sign of discomfort, don't we?
Mm.
We do. We got to press in for some more, because here's what I need to tell you, and this is where I need to bring this home for you. Jesus loves you like that.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you like that. That is the love that he has for you. So whether or not you have anyone that loves you like that, Jesus, the Lord of glory, who is real and alive and living in the earth today, chose you to be in this kind of covenant with him. Praise God.
Wow.
That adjusts my entire line of thought.
Yeah.
for the rest of my existence. At that point, when I believe that, I can love somebody else too. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Totally.
I need you to understand that God loves you that way. Jesus had a disciple that had, not all of his disciples were like that.
Mm-mm.
Man, when it was time for him to hang on the cross, they ran. One of them betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of them were like, oh yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. To death do we part. Whatever, I'm with you. And they were gone. Gone. Run like little rats away from what's happening. But there was one. John stayed with him. John was the one who laid his head on Jesus in that Seder meal.
Yeah.
He was close to Jesus. He heard his heartbeat. He was his friend.
And it was even John, when Jesus, you know, died, resurrected, he ascended again. Jesus entrusted his mom to him. John took care of Mary.
I was at the cross.
Yeah. So there's this continuation of that relationship.
Yeah. There. Yeah, he steps in to Jesus' place because of this hesed commitment that not only did Jesus have for him, but John had for Jesus.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what it cost him. He was standing out there right out in the open. Could have been sliced down by a Roman sword right there.
Mm-hmm.
Or taken into prison. Whatever. It didn't matter. It doesn't. This kind of love goes past what I feel. I will tell you this. This is the love we crave.
Yeah, it is. We may not know how to do this naturally because it's not of the flesh at all. But we crave it. And when you feel it, when you feel that love from the Lord, or when you feel that love from a person, you may have a covenant friend, I don't know. It's so right. And it's so what we were designed. That's the kind of love we were designed to live in.
And that's the kind of love that brings resurrection.
Yeah.
It brings life. It brings miracles. Because there's so much agreement. Because it doesn't matter what happens from day to day. I am here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're this person that I'm talking about, well, I mean, the Lord, he's not visibly here.
Right, no.
Right, but he's in covenant with you. You may have a covenant friend that lives 1,000 miles away, but there's so much agreement, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You know that if you called them on the phone today, they would be there as soon as they could get there if you needed them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking. We crave this. We do. And this just came into my spirit. If you are one, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but boy, we are past the times of being politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
I am so over it. If you are one that is selling yourself sexually for whatever reason, this is what you're craving.
Yeah, it is.
If you are one that's bouncing from relationship to relationship, you may not be doing it for an income, but you're bouncing from one thing to the next. You're craving this.
Even if you are one who is struggling with homosexuality, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
That's what you're craving.
You are craving the one who fully knows you and fully is committed to your well-being and your good. Every good thing that God has for you is tied up in this chesed that he chose for you. I'm going to remind you of something. You are called from the foundation of the earth. He has spoken your name and he speaks it often. He calls for you. If you're a Christian, he's in covenant with you. All that he has is yours. Everything he owns for you. You have access to anything you need. He fully loves you. And when that becomes your highest thought, everything else, even when you have an eating disorder, either a compulsion to eat, like a food addiction, or anorexia, bulimia, other kinds of food disorders, it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just one way of exposing it versus another. That is a hunger for knowing that you are seen and fully loved.
Yeah.
And I bless you. In Jesus' name, I break the power of every one of those things off of your life right now.
Jesus.
The power of rejection falls away when you understand that you are not rejected. You are brought to the king's table and there's a place for you there and he knows you.
Yeah.
And on your best day, he claims you. And on your worst day, he calls for you and he fills you with his chesed that goes way beyond how you're doing in performance.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
He sees you.
He sees you.
He delights in you and he knows you.
Yeah. And when you understand that, all those other behavioral things begin to unhook.
Yeah.
We begin to unhook ourselves from those bondages. Be healed of that trauma. Be healed of those things. Those people that imparted those traumas to you that caused you to act the way you're acting right now, they were craving this as well.
Right.
So we just forgive them. We release them. It doesn't make it right what they did, but we release forgiveness toward them and toward you in Jesus' name. You are forgiven. You just have to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if I were going to give you my car. I'm not. But if I were going to give you my car, I could hold out my keys to you and say, here, I'm going to give you my car. And you can discuss it and you can debate about it and you can cry about it. You can do whatever. But until you take the keys from me and go get in the car and turn the keys and drive away, you won't access what belongs to you. But it belonged to you since I told you I was going to give you the car.
Mm-hmm.
So in Jesus' name, be released from every bondage today, because the Lord has chosen to love you well. He chose you and he lifts you up as a city on a hill is what it says, that your light would not be hidden, because he wants to fill you with the love of God, and people are going to respond to that in your life right now.
Yeah.
Every other bondage will fall off of you, but you got to think about this for a while. It's a change in the way that you think.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it is.
It is, because we drive ourselves to try and try and try to be good enough for people to love us, when we understand that he first loved us.
Yeah.
And that's why we can love him.
Yeah.
We love you and we want to hear from you. I want you to get on Breathe Retreat That Life right now and tell me what's going on in your life. You need to register for Breathe on April 24th. You will never be the same again. It's right here in Oklahoma City. You need to be there. It will be an encounter with the King like you have never experienced before. It gets better every single time. I'm always shocked at how amazing it is. I'm always shocked that God goes so much further than he did before.
Yeah.
I just want you to know we have a place set for you there.
Yeah.
We are preparing a wild and woolly and wonderful place for you there. We love you. And we bless you in the name of Jesus. We speak freedom over you. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.